Welcome to Supervision Simplified, the podcast that's here to rock your supervisory world. Our mission is simple yet powerful: to educate and elevate counselors, social workers, and psychologists, empowering them to serve their communities at the highest level of fidelity and service. I'm Dr. Amy Parks. I'm a child and teen psychologist, a group practice owner, and a supervisor in Virginia.
And I'm Valerie Harris, a trauma and attachment specialist, group practice owner, and a supervisor in Tennessee. Let's make it simple and dive right in.
Hi.
Hi.
Welcome to Supervision Simplified. Isn't it fun to be in the same room?
It is fun to be in the same room.
We're really excited to be live with you today. We're actually in Virginia Beach at a conference together, and we're really thrilled to be in the same room together. We're actually going to be hosting some live interviews, so we are setting that up. And in the process of doing that, we are in the same room together. So
we are.
Yeah.
And we are figuring this out as we go, and it's very exciting.
So
crying, and we hope that all of this comes through really well for you, including that loud jet that you're hearing.
Absolutely. So because we're in Virginia Beach, you get to hear live jets going over top of us and all the things. But in the meantime, we also wanted to take a little time to talk about training for supervisors and for clinicians, because we're here at the Clinician Connection Summit.
Yeah.
Clinician Connection Conference. And let's honor that jet that's going over us right now.
I think they're having 10 fly at once. The first time we've had 10 at once. Only today. Only right now.
Absolutely.
Put it 2-for-1.
Hey, go Navy. Anyway, yeah. So we're at the Clinician Connection Conference. It's actually wrapping up, and we have had some amazing speakers. We have had some training on trauma. We've had some training on the brain. We've had training on burnout, compassion, fatigue. What are some of the trainings that you went to?
I went to your fantastic training.
Thank you very much.
And I also got ducked there.
Yes.
Which, you know, is fun. And then for those of you who don't know, well, you will just have to wait. You'll have to wait another time. I also went to one on working with spiritual abuse, which was really, really good.
Yeah. And then someone did something on creativity and art therapy, mm-hmm. which was really good.
Who will be interviewing? Right?
Yes, absolutely. TJ, TJ Walsh, who will be interviewing next week. So really excited and look forward to that. And so we wanted to spend a little bit of time to talk to you about the opportunities that are involved in, that are about training, some of the opportunities that are out there for training, not only just for supervisors, uh-huh. but also just for clinicians, because one of the things that we know is that there are certainly a lot of online opportunities that you could take that are virtual, asynchronous opportunities. Mm-hmm. You can buy from PESI. You can buy from the Telemental Health Institute.
Psychotherapy Networker,
absolutely. And then there are a lot of really exciting live opportunities like this Clinician Connection, mm-hmm. The Supervision Summit, which is on May the 18th. That's going to be virtual, but also live. Mm-hmm. So what are some other trainings that you know that are coming up?
Stabilize and Scale.
Absolutely.
One.
Yep. And Stabilize and Scale is going to be in Asheville in June.
In June, yes.
Right?
That one's more geared towards practice owners. Mm-hmm. We're looking to just work on systems, bottlenecks, but it's going to have a lot of great people there. Maureen,
yep.
Zariah, Patrick.
Yep.
So that's an opportunity. What else is out there? I feel like I came across one the other day and I can't remember what it is.
So the mama therapist, the what?
I should know that. We should know that. We're speaking of that one.
Absolutely. And there's a specific, it's called, there's a name there. It's not
Sarah Mama.
Yeah, I reversed it. Sarah Mamas, and that's in Missouri in October, and that's going to be really
Radiant Resilient.
Absolutely. And we'll put all these links in the show notes so that you know mm-hmm. about these conferences that are coming up. But also, how about Dawn? Dawn just does a lot of conferences too. She does a lot of training. She does trainings in ethics.
Right.
And we'll put her events in there. I think that there are a number of things that Patrick Casale is doing as well.
Yes.
That are international travel, but also involve CEs and opportunities mm-hmm. for training.
And then you and I are going to one in September.
That's right. Let's talk about that. That's going to be amazing. So this is the most epic training I think I might ever be involved in. And I don't know if anyone else that I have known has ever gone to this training. So let's tell everybody about it. So you found it. So talk about it.
Yes, it is the Master Series, and it is all things trauma. And
but not always. That just happens to be the theme this year.
It's right. Always trauma. I think it's trauma.
Oh no, I don't think so. Last year was a whole different theme.
Well, they have different themes around it, but it is trauma focused almost always.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Okay, I think it's different themes around
trauma. Okay.
Yes. So of course Gabor Mate will be there. Yep. He was there last year as well. Janina Fisher.
Stephen Porges.
Bessel van der Kolk, mm-hmm. Terry Real,
who Daniel Siegel.
Like, some people don't know him, but I mm-hmm. absolutely love the work he does with couples.
Yep.
Yes, Dan Siegel. Who else? I don't know. There's so many.
Tamara Howell.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to be fangirling.
Yep. So we're going to England, to Oxford. We're going to try to get Gabor Mate to interview with us.
We will.
We're going to take our microphones. We're going to be really good at live interviewing then. I think what we'll do is we'll have our phones then, and we'll just have a little mini microphone.
Well,
I do a little mini interview.
I have a portable podcasting thing. I just didn't.
Oh, I
haven't tried to use it yet, but we'll learn to use it by then.
Okay.
It works really well, and then you could just use it and sit in front of all three of us, and then we'd have one camera. I just don't know how it works with StreamYard, and we will figure it all out.
I don't even know what that is. So we'll figure all that out so that we can do on-the-fly interviews. That's our goal, mm-hmm. is to be able to do a lot more these live kinds of
even
interviews.
Even if it's a 5 or 10 minutes,
yes.
Let me ask you a couple questions.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm persistent.
Yes, absolutely. So that will be really great. And so one of the things that a lot of people at this particular conference have been asking me, because the Clinical Supervision Directory was a sponsor at this Clinician Connection Conference, mm-hmm. is what are some of the requirements for clinicians, not just for clinicians for licensure, but also for supervisors for licensure?
Yeah.
So we've been talking a lot about that. So for example, most states in the U.S. require ethics renewal. Mm-hmm. So anywhere from 2 to 6 ethics CEs a year for renewal of your licensure. I don't think that there's any state in the U.S. that doesn't require any ethics for renewal of licensure, but there very well could be. So please give us an insight if your state doesn't require anything, because
I guess every 2 years
you have to
have ethics. We also have one that's kind of newer that I feel a lot of newer clinicians don't know, and that is suicide training. We have to have that
in Tennessee
so many years.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Virginia only has ethics. California has a lot more requirements. They also have a diversity and equity training requirement.
Okay.
And that's just for clinicians. And then for supervisors, it's very different as well. Mm-hmm. Very, very different. So some states require, once you get your supervision training, which you can get through a CCE-approved organization, or you can get it through an NBCC-approved organization. Once you have your, so some states require anywhere from 6 to 12 to 20 CEs to in supervision to be credentialed as a supervisor. Once you have those credentials, some states require nothing else.
Which was weird.
And which is odd to me too. And Virginia is one of those. We've talked about that before. Mm-hmm. And then some require ongoing training.
Like Tennessee.
And ongoing supervision training. And so what we want to do is we're going to really encourage states and clinicians in supervision to be discussing this among themselves.
Yeah.
And if they're not required to continue to get supervision training, to really think about, should they be doing it anyway?
Yes.
Because just because you're not required, doesn't that still say to you, like, okay, so just because I'm not required, maybe I should still be doing it anyway? Because again, supervision, imagine you were the CEO of a company. You're a leader in an organization. Just because you are brought on as a leader of a company, does that mean that you should never, ever again be responsible for learning anything more about becoming a leader?
That's not how that works in any successful company.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Based into ongoing training and development and programs.
Exactly.
And to continue to stay ahead of the curve.
Exactly.
To stay aware of things. It's the whole reason that you have to get continuing education for most every profession. So it should never, like, your state laws to me should never be the final say on whether or not you do the thing. Like, that shouldn't be your baseline. Like,
right.
It should be, like, I don't know. I feel like the baseline shouldn't be just whether it's required.
And so often, though, we look at it as the bare minimum.
Yeah.
You know, so everyone is kind of looking and
or
and,
yeah, that's what I mean.
And
yeah.
Also the states are considering that as really the gold, you know, the states are sort of purporting this as sort of, this is our gold standard. This is what we say is required by us. And therefore, this is what we're saying is the best case scenario, or what we're saying is the gold standard. And the fact of the matter is you and I both agree, and I would venture to say that many, many people in this that are supervisors and leaders in corporations and professions and various different, you know, areas of business and different career professions would say that there is, you know, far higher expectations and far higher levels that we need to be at to be accomplishing the things that we need to be accomplishing. You know, you think of the companies who are floundering, who are not successful, and what do? They bring in consultants to help them
are well trained
to be more successful. And those are people who come in as trainers to train them to get better, right? And so, so it kind of behooves us all to make sure that we are getting the best trainer. So then that sort of begs the question, how do we as people that are hosting the Supervision Simplified podcast, who are really endorsing training at the highest caliber, how do we start to find those people? How do you and I, Valerie and Amy, start to really cull through the people that are in our profession who are doing the highest caliber training? And we're really excited to say that one of the people that is doing really high level training is going to be interviewing with us in the next couple weeks. We're going to be having them on our podcast, and her name is Lakonda Fanning, and she is doing some incredible training in the state of Virginia.
I'm thinking, what if we put on the website, have something set up just sort of like for an event where we could keep some upcoming trainings or things, or I don't know, just think of a way, or we can put it on our link tree.
Yeah, that would actually be a great idea. Mm-hmm. We'll probably try to add that to our link tree. We love the thumbs again. We'll try to add that to our link tree. I think that that's a great idea. Maybe what we could do is both. I mean, we could put that on our, I think it would be great to have on our website and on our link tree, be able to have both of that information on both places.
Yeah. Because I do know that people are frequently looking.
Yeah.
And that would be a nice place to get them. And I haven't lost video yet. So
Well, that's good.
Maybe we stay the whole time.
Yeah. Maybe that's good. Well, that's great. Yeah. So we'll have a little bit of ebb and flow of both of what we're doing. So So what have been some of your favorite trainings in the past, Valerie? What have been some of the things that you have really, really enjoyed and that you'd like to maybe see us do more of in the profession?
That's hard. I'm a real big fan of the ISSTD, the International Society for the Study of Trauma and Dissociation.
Uh-huh.
I feel like I've gotten some of the most quality training from there. And they have an annual professional series that you can buy into as if you're a member. And it's almost like something quarterly that's live. And I think the reason I really enjoy it is because I felt like in the past when I've gone to like an ACA conference, it just feels, it just didn't feel as in depth as what I needed. And I understand they're trying to fill a really, you know, they're trying to meet the needs of many.
Right.
And, you know, as a brand new clinician, I'm sure that it offers a lot of value. But as you become more experienced as a clinician, sometimes you just don't feel like the depth has always been there. Mm-hmm. At least at the time when I went, they didn't have any sort of like professional tracks that you could get on to have any, you know, variability there. So I remember just really kind of being at a loss until I found the ISSTD. So they really do a good job. I really value Psychotherapy Network trainings.
Yeah.
Very much so.
You know, I'm surprised you've never come because it's in D.C.
I know. I wanted to so many times.
I know.
But they are one of my go-tos to buy things and get a lifetime value out of those because they're just always really, really good trainings.
Yeah.
And I know that Pessy and them work together in some capacity. I'm not sure, but I know when I log into one, I can access the other. So there must be some sort of partnership between the two. But the content is definitely not the same because anything I've bought on Pessy is on one part of that site, in the Psychotherapy Network is on the other part of that site. So But they, I will say the quality that you get between, there's something different for me. And so I'm always kind of curious, like, okay, Pessie, who's your ideal person versus who's your ideal person with Psychotherapy Network? Because it almost makes me wonder if Pessie is intended to target more of like newer clinicians or your required trainings, sort of, you know,
right.
Versus maybe Psychotherapy Networker is intended to, I don't know, hit a different type of ideal person. The only reason I say it is they have similar, sometimes they have similar trainers, sometimes they don't, but it, something hits different between the two, and I just can't figure
it
out.
Well, I think Psychotherapy Networker, at least from my sort of understanding of the vision, I think Psychotherapy Networker has always been oriented beyond just the like therapeutic clinician. Like it's always been oriented more towards beyond like to somatic practitioners,
yes.
Yoga teachers, meditation practitioners, you know, really holistic and people that embrace like a holistic mind approach. So I think
I'm trauma and attachment. So maybe that's why it has always felt like a better fit. Whereas I know Pessie works with doctors, nurses.
Yeah,
but
Pessie
it
is more. Like yeah, I think Pessie is more sort of mainstream, and Psychotherapy Networkers maybe. Is there such a thing as like off stream, downstream,
yes,
you know, like a little bit less mainstream? And so, but
like MDDO.
Yeah, like Psychotherapy Networker also was privately held. And then the person that started it passed away a couple years ago. And I think that it was in a little bit of turmoil. And I don't know, I'd love people to come on.
Was it always interviewing everyone?
I don't recall. I don't know exactly.
He passed away not too long ago.
So that could have very well been. And then it kept going.
And he's a really big giver. Like he just seemed.
They had a really powerful like team that was able to keep it going. So I don't actually know, but I would love to have more insight into that because
yeah.
I think one of the things that I would love to be talking about in the process of, you know, discussing supervision is how could Psychotherapy Networker and Pessie also be, you know, supporting the training and the support of supervision. Because one of the things that you and I talk about, and I know that you and I both agree, is that we can continue to, you know, we will continue to support clinicians and the next generation of clinicians. And if we don't continue to support supervisors, there will be no one to support those next generation of clinicians. Because people, if they don't have the tools to be supervisors
that's
and to
right.
feel good about that leadership role, they won't keep doing it because
yeah.
it's a lot of work.
And to add to that, and ethically you're asked, don't charge so much.
Right. Don't,
it's like, oh.
don't, you know, don't worry about them being on your license because it's not really that. It's a huge, big deal.
Absolutely.
To have somebody.
For decades, someone
right.
can come back and ask for those hours, notes, any of those things. So it's a big ask.
Right. And
with very little in ROI for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, unless they really have a love of teaching and pouring in naturally, that's just kind of like a gifting that they enjoy, then I just feel like it becomes that much harder, like you said.
Right.
And for those people who enjoy teaching, they also usually enjoy learning,
right.
which means they're always going to be looking for more learning opportunities. In my initial training, in order to be able to be approved in Tennessee, the 12 hours, it was through Pessie.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty comprehensive. It was not, it was good. It was online, but it was a little more than 12 hours, but it covered, you know, high risk management and things like that, which was great for me having a trauma practice. So I felt like it was really prepared for sort of more of the, what limits I needed to watch for, like things I needed to set be mindful of.
Right.
But it didn't help me necessarily with the art of
right.
supervision. And that to me is almost where I'm like, Pessie, and then
yeah.
the Psychotherapy Network of the art of somebody.
Right.
It's almost how I feel at different times. Like
right.
I needed that because I couldn't have come over here and taken one with the art of supervision, not having these foundational things in place.
Right.
And yet once I had those in place, it was great. We have it to date. Knock on wood, had really significant things blow up because we did have those good practices. But at the same time, I had a lot to learn and didn't really have a lot of resources to go
yeah.
to find
yeah. And I think if you're in a much longer training, there's an opportunity to add that art piece. But still, it is a learning curve over time that also you have to
sure.
gain. But like I talked to somebody today who works for a large managed care facility, and they already work a 60-hour week.
Yeah.
And they're being asked to take on 20 supervisees. They're not a supervisee yet.
Stop.
And I'm thinking to myself, yeah. And they're not a supervisor yet. And they were saying,
I don't even know if that they can ethically do that in that state, right?
Well, no, but the point, right, that's like neither here nor there. The point is they're not a supervisor. They already have a very demanding job, and they're the only person qualified to even take the training at their center, at their site. And so my point, despite all of the red flags there, my point is that a person like that needs as much support as possible from the community of supervisors
on demand, like
to be able, right, to be able to do their job. And so we really want the PESIs of the world, the psychotherapy networkers, the clinical supervision directories, the Educates and Elevates, the organizations that are out there supporting clinicians to be paying attention to what supervisors need, because if those supervisors burn out, they can't train the 20 people that need supervision.
That's right.
And then guess what? Those supervisors, those people that need supervision, they're going to quit too.
That's right.
And so my point, again, like not to throw that person that needs has the 20 people that works for the managed care under the bus, but my point is that person needs support.
Yeah.
And so I want to make sure that those clinicians feel super supported, because the people that I know that do supervision have it pretty much figured out. But the people that are coming up and want, like, have a fantasy about supervision are the same people that I know that have a fantasy about running group practice.
Right. And you remember, you and I just talked about this. There are new clinicians that I have supervised who really thought that once they got licensed, they could be a supervisor.
Right.
It's like, oh no.
And
it's not one.
No.
It's
true. Some states.
Right. But rule of twice, like, right, multiples. Right. And I'm like, no, right, you have to be licensed for, sorry. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
So it's a lot to it.
Like,
it's way
setting
more.
That same thought along with group practice. And it's really interesting that you're saying this, because I see a parallel process, because I see patterns everywhere, people. I know you do too.
Right.
But more so maybe for the P. But I have this real concern around group practice and group practice owners and how they're burning out and how rapidly, and if we don't get some support around them, there will be no more teaching sites. We're not going to have any more sites available for students or new clinicians, and they're all going to be stuck back at hospitals or community mental health. And I'm not saying that those are all inherently bad. I'm just saying that we've done that for a long time, and I don't know that that was always what was best. And I think that we should always have more options.
It's not always the right setting for everyone. So yeah, the more options, the better.
Yeah.
And the same for
supervisors. So you feel that there's this risk or almost writing on the wall that we are running into or could be running into a future with very limited supervisors. I feel the same way about group practices. And so it's neat. This has brought our thing together in such a perfect way, which is because we're the complementary process.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to wrap up because we have an interview coming up, but thank you for joining Supervision Simplified. We are thrilled to have you, and we'd love to encourage you to subscribe to our channel, subscribe to our podcast.
Do all the things that make it happy, like it, share it,
absolutely,
listen, download it.
And attend all the trainings that you can. We'll make sure that we share them and share them with us as well, because we would love to sponsor. We would love to interview you. We'd love to be a part of your world and have you be a part of ours. So again, thank you for joining us for Supervision Simplified, and we'll see you soon and keep simplifying all of your supervision.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Supervision Simplified. Remember, the revolution starts here. We hope you'll subscribe and that you'll share it with your friends and colleagues. We also want your comments, stories, and feedback so we can be sure to be talking about what interests you the most. Until next time, keep on simplifying and elevating your supervision game.